The Bible reading for the sermon is the lesson which was read with special emphasis on the verse which says that Jesus comes as the good shepherd to save us and to give us life abundantly. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you that you revealed yourself and your mercy in the good shepherd, Jesus. And we pray now that he will be near us, beside us, and helping us, sending us your Holy Spirit, that we can understand the meaning of your word for our lives. We pray in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The people in our century who are seeking to be saved and seeking the Good Shepherd are described also, in the words of a famous writer of our century, in the form of a parable. He writes this parable. We have a large city, a historic church in the city, and the people from the south come to visit it as tourists. They enter the church to look at the artwork, the sculpture, the stained glass windows, and to study its history. And the pastor enters, and he comes in. He says, "No, come, sit down. I want to talk to you about your relationship to Jesus. How is it going with you?" Then he tells him a parable. He said, a man came from the country, and he came in to the church, and he was seeking the abundant life to be saved. He saw light. He came there by a door that had light by it, and there was the pastor, and he and the pastor talk. This search goes on in this parable until this man gets weak and tired and old, and he collapses and dies without finding his way through the door to the light and life of the Good Shepherd. Whose fault was it? Oh, some said, it was the pastor's fault. Others, in defense of the pastor, said, oh no, he didn't ask the right questions in the debate. The author interrupts with a narrative, and he said, concerning this impasse, you'll find the answer in the 10th chapter of John, which is our text. And first we enter this life abundant through the door. The supernatural light, energy, source of life abundant. Saint Philip sees this in Jesus. And he wants to tell others, and he witnesses to Nathanael, and he said, the Messiah, who was prophesied in the law of Moses and by the prophets, came in Jesus of Nazareth. Oh, Nathanael said, Nazareth? What good could come out of Nazareth? Come and see, Philip says. And when Nathanael, who is a man of without guile, an honest person, seeking what is truth, and Jesus, you know, said in another context, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. When Nathanael sees that presence of the supernatural power and love of God in Jesus, he says, you are the King of Israel. So the Jews replied. Many of them replied in affirming this presence of power and love in Jesus, the Messiah. Saint Philip witnesses in another context to the Greeks. They said, we seek Jesus. So Philip goes to Andrew. They talk to Jesus about it. And he again says, the Father and I are one. And your relationship to the Good Shepherd, to Jesus, is through prayer. St. James was described later as one whose knees were as calloused as those of a camel from praying so much. He too knew the righteousness of Jesus. He was a just man. He was called St. James the Just, the Apostle, the Bishop of Jerusalem. And the thieves and the robbers, who represent the alternative to the Good Shepherd or to the abundant life, say to James the Just, now the people will listen to you. You'll go up on the high wall of the temple, and all these multitudes of those who are following Jesus are down here, and they will believe what you tell them. So you tell them that they should renounce Jesus. He goes up there and he justly tells the people that Jesus now sits at the right hand of the power of God, and he will come again in the clouds. Oh, the thieves and robbers rush up there and they hurl him down. He's not killed in the fall, but then they stone him, and while he's being stoned to death, he says, Father, forgive them. And so this love and power of forgiveness and kindness and mercy revealed in the Good Shepherd triumphs over the violence and deception and destruction of the thieves and the robbers. And the early Christians give us reaction shots to how they responded then to the witness of the sainted apostles like Philip and James. They sketch on their burial vault stones, you know, the side stones of the coffin and the ends and the top would be sketches on there in the catacombs where they were buried below the ground. And there was a room there and you could read on these, in these sketches, how they interpreted their lives and how this Good Shepherd helped them. They will have descriptions of their situations in life. Perhaps the information here will tell the name of the person who died, this Christian's birthday and death. Maybe it's a young girl or a young boy. And then there will be a sketch of a historic incident which will tell the observer or reader of this message of the witness of the early Christian that this is the Jairus' daughter or the widow's son at Nain. Or it'll be an indication that Lazarus has been given life. And there'll be a palm or a branch from a tree representing the tree of life of paradise. And then, prominent and most often on all of the sketches on these early Christians' tombs was the Good Shepherd with this lamb or sheep securely draped over his shoulders. He has found the lost sheep in danger of being frozen in the winter of death, in danger of being lost, and is securely carrying this sheep to the warm home in heaven, in the valley beneath where the blizzard has come in the pastures and endangered this one lost sheep as the flock is taken to safety. And so they witnessed. We enter through the door, through Jesus Christ, to the abundant life. And then we are to assume our freedom. We can come and go. We have known the righteousness of Christ. He laid down his life for us. He raised it up again. We can go into the sheepfold, into the church, into the kingdom of God, where we hear the gospel, and we can be baptized and receive the Lord's Supper. We can learn the will of God, and we can go freely out into the pasture of our vocations and use our freedom responsibly. James teaches that in his epistle. Do not only be hearers of the word or tourists in the history of the churches, but be doers of the word. In the first chapter, in the 27th verse, he said, true religion in the eyes of the Father is this, to visit the orphans and the widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. And so we use our freedom responsibly. Knowing the righteousness of Christ, we translate that into some form of common welfare, of helping one another, the widows, the orphans, the poor, the illiterate, the 7 million homeless in our time, the 22 million illiterate. We try to translate that hearing of the word into the doing of it. James says, faith and works go together. Our road to the abundant life is a complete image, a parable of fulfillment in life. And we want a witness of that and echo it to others. The shepherds would call out to the sheep and their voices would echo, like in this church, like in the mountains where they were crying and crying out in the valleys below. We are to echo the love of the Good Shepherd. So yesterday morning early, my clock radio went off with the echoes of the airwaves. Now, if you have any problem that you can't cope with, call us. It's a toll-free number, the 800 number. Call us at the Lutheran Hour. $20 million a year given by our laymen to help people in need, to echo out the gospel, to counsel people, to find their needs and to bring them into the sheepfold in some congregation. We do it also. Like in the early parable that I told in the beginning of the sermon, there are people who are seeking the light of life, the Good Shepherd, the door to the sheepfold. Two of them, one I heard about yesterday in a mission in Indiana. An elderly person was called on the phone, found out about Jesus. We had one in Illinois. In January, I called this woman. She had cancer. I prayed with her and for her. And the next time I came down here and called, she had died. So there are people like the old man in the parable of Franz Kafka's writing who are coming to seek the Good Shepherd, and they are finding him through our echoing of it. This past week, I was calling on a man who's helped me try to understand witnessing in the inner city. He had been a bouncer in the bars of our inner city. Meanwhile, in his life, his hips have deteriorated, and he's in the hospital. He lives alone, and he's in the hospital, and he has these joints replaced in his hips. So I'm calling on him, and I read the Bible from the third chapter of Mark, where the man is brought and let through the roof, and he's healed. And in the catacombs, there's a fellow like this who's died. And they have a sketch there. And this fellow's running out with his bed up in the air. And on the sketch also stands the Good Shepherd. And I'm trying to tell this fellow about the Good Shepherd and how he heals him. And then being alone, I thought maybe he needed food. I said, Larry, what can I do to help you? How about some food? Food! He says, I got enough food for 6 weeks. He says, pray for me. And then when he's healed, you know, and he feels no more of that pain that he had in his joints and his hips. And the surgeon says, oh, you have really recovered. He says, God has helped me through the prayers of my friends. So, see, he is echoing his gratitude to the Good Shepherd. That's a sketch on his life now. Friday night, we were hearing Steve Alford, gold medal winning basketball player, All-American, and now coach, took a new job coaching a Division I school, and he's speaking to a child evangelism rally. And during the speech, he says, here I am, eight and a half hours from where I'm supposed to be working. He says, for the last 3.5 weeks, we've been moving my family, and I've been recruiting and all this work, and he says, I have been neglecting my relationship with Jesus Christ. We got to stay close to the shepherd on our route through life. How is it going with our relationship with Jesus. As the pastor asked the tourists, we have entered through the gate, through knowing Jesus. He knows us by name, like a shepherd would pick up a little lamb and give it a name and speak to it. That lamb would come to know the shepherd's voice. And so he knows us. He has given us freedom to be responsible in our lives. He encourages us to be shepherds under Jesus, going forth, echoing his message and his salvation. And above all, as he said to Philip and Andrew concerning the Greeks who were seeking Jesus, he said, I will not leave you as orphans. Amen.